You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks this day that you are indeed our Father, that you love us abundantly as our Father. And we ask now, Lord, that you would please help us. Send your Spirit to work powerfully in our hearts and our minds, that we might turn away from this world and turn to you. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, please turn back in your bulletin to the Romans reading so you can follow along with me and check that what I'm saying is what is in agreement with what God has to say to us this morning. Well, after a long and busy winter, the summer gives us a chance, hopefully for you and for me, to reflect on all that's happened this past year. All the ups and the downs, all the wins and the losses, all the successes and failures. It's a chance to remember the memories that were made, to reflect on all that God has been doing in your life, and a chance to ask yourself, what are you thankful to God for this year? This is a question that our family asks almost every night as we put our two-year-old Jonathan to bed. As part of his bedtime routine, we read a chapter from the Jesus Storybook Bible, and we ask him and each other, what are you thankful to God for today? Now, he'll often say, Mama and Dada and baby sister, and add, you know, whatever activity was done that day. But this gives us an opportunity to be reminded of all the good things that God has provided for us that day, of all the things that we can rejoice and boast about. Here in Romans 5, 1 through 8, we see, and Paul reminds us, that we have so much to rejoice about in this life. But even though life can be hard, there can be much suffering, and we are completely and utterly undeserving, God has richly blessed us in Jesus Christ by his grace and mercy. I want to highlight three reasons why Paul gives us for rejoicing. First, we rejoice because we have peace with God. Second, we rejoice because of the hope we have in God. And thirdly, we rejoice because we are loved by God. Let's look at this passage more closely. Look at verse 1 with me. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It might sound a little strange to you and to some to think that we might need peace with God. The world certainly doesn't think that we need peace with God, but up until this point in this letter, Paul has been making the case that all of humanity, every person, every human that has ever lived, has been at war with God. That is, from birth, we have all been in rebellion against God due to our sinfulness. There's no escaping it. We're all born into a broken world with a broken relationship with God, our Creator. It's not just those pagans out there that ignore God and who exchange the truth about God for a lie. It's also us in here, the so-called righteous ones who sit under the Word of God every week, who are included in the family of God. We too are by nature sinners. And yet here we read that by the grace of God we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this peace isn't just the absence of fighting and war, as though we're still kind of enemies, but we kind of can manage to get along and live peacefully alongside each other. It's much more than that, because now, instead of being regarded as rebels, instead of being labeled as enemies of God, we have been reconciled back to God. Our relationship with him has been restored. Not through anything that we have done, but we have been accepted back by him through what Jesus has done for us. Through his sacrificial death on a cross for our sins, we've been declared innocent of our crimes against God. And we receive this verdict through faith in him. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds like good and great news to me. So we can rejoice because we have been justified by faith, which gives us peace with God. And this peace we now have gives us hope. And we see that in verses 2 through 4. So let's look at those again. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now that our relationship with God has been restored, we rejoice knowing that our future is one that is headed for glory. No longer are we headed for death and destruction, knowing that we can now stand before God in his presence by his grace without fear or retribution or judgment. Previously, the glory of God was something that caused us to stumble, that caused us great anxiety. When in our sinfulness we come face to face with God in all of his glory, we just fall apart, we come undone, and we perish. We experience condemnation because we feel and we truly are unworthy to be in God's presence. We see this all throughout the Bible. Like Isaiah, who when he came face to face with the glory of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." Or when Peter realized who Jesus was, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Or for a non-biblical example, when in Wayne's World, Wayne and Garth are invited to hang out with one of their heroes, Alice Cooper, and they fall to their knees and they proclaim, "We're not worthy, we're not worthy, we're scum." When faced with the awesome wonder and glory of God, which is much greater than the glory of Alice Cooper, when we fully see and really know who he is, we realize that we're not worthy to be in the presence of God. And yet, we've been granted access into his good grace. Because of Jesus, we can now stand in the presence of God without fear and trembling. And this gives us hope that, knowing that when we appear before the judge on that last day, we won't be turned away, we won't be put to shame, but rather we will be brought in to delight, to revel, and to rejoice in the glory of God. The day that once invoked fear and anxiety, we now look forward to with great anticipation, knowing that when the glory of our God will finally be revealed, we will be there with him, seated with him, and rejoicing in him. Paul says that we also rejoice in our sufferings because they increase our hope in God. We don't just find joy in the pain because we are masochists or because pain and suffering are the goal of life. Suffering isn't something that you're meant to control. It's not something that's meant to be a part of this creation. It's not the way things were meant to be. But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that in them and through them, God is working on us and in us, as our sufferings through perseverance and character produce more and more hope in us, as our eyes are turned away from the things of this world and from ourselves and focused and fixed on God. In Hebrews 11, we read about the faith of Moses, who, by his faith in God, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, Moses chose a life of suffering over the riches of this world. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Moses knew that these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As Paul says elsewhere, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, life can be really, really hard, but what is waiting for those who have faith in Jesus is just so much greater. The glory of God that we are destined for is so much more wonderful than anything this world could ever offer you. So we rejoice because we have peace. We rejoice because we have hope in God. And thirdly, we rejoice because we are loved by God. Look at verses 5 through 8 with me. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If it wasn't clear from the previous verses and previous chapters of this book, Paul spells it out for us here. The peace and the hope that we have received from God flow out of the love that he has for us. We don't rejoice because of anything that we've accomplished or because there's anything good in us. In fact, the point that Paul is trying to make throughout the whole of this letter is that we have nothing in ourselves to boast about, but we have much in God to boast about. Our rejoicing is not self-centered, but God-centered. We rejoice in what God has done and is doing in our lives. We rejoice as we are reminded that it's not about us, but it's all about him and his love for us. I don't know about you, but I often complain that God doesn't make things clear to me. I wish he would come out and just tell me what he thinks and feels. Why doesn't God just give us a sign? Well, the cross of Jesus Christ is that sign. A sign of God's love. It shows us what God thinks about us, that he would give his only son to die for us, to make us the ungodly, the sinners, the enemies, to make us his own. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we were worthy, not because we are strong or good or righteous, but because he loved us. Be joyful in the Lord, the psalmist reminds us in our psalm today. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. Why should we do that? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his faithfulness endures from age to age. We have much to be thankful to God for about. We have a lot to rejoice and boast about. Not because we are blind to the realities and difficulties of life, but because God has acted in the past and in the present and in our future to give us peace, hope, and love. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm up here trying to say that if you know all this already and you're not rejoicing, then you're failing as a Christian. As though I'm saying you're not doing good enough and you need to do better. That's just simply not what I'm trying to say. My intent is not to condemn, but to encourage and to remind you of the truth of God's word. To refocus your attention, to remind you of the good news of Jesus Christ. To remind you of the confidence we have in God. And the reason why we can rejoice in what God has done for us. So that your mind and your heart might be renewed and refreshed by the wonderful news that through Jesus Christ we have peace with God. We have hope for a glorious future with God. And this can never be taken away from us because God has poured out his love in our hearts because it's all based upon that love that he has for us. A love that has been abundantly poured out on us through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us and who now dwells within us. I wonder if you know this joy. Have you by faith acknowledged your need for help, your need for rescue, your need for forgiveness? And by faith, have you accepted the grace that God so freely gives us in Jesus Christ? Well, today is a great day to make that happen. All you have to do is talk to God in prayer and tell him that you're sorry and that you need his forgiveness. But the good news of Jesus Christ is that all who ask in Jesus' name will be saved and will be forgiven. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you richly provide, for all that you have given us, all that we have to rejoice about, for the peace we have through the forgiveness of our sins, for the hope we have in one day sharing in your glory, and for the amazing love that you have for us in Jesus Christ, and that all of this is ours by grace, through trusting in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to have such an awareness of your mercy, such an awareness of your love and your grace, that our hearts may be truly thankful, that we might praise you and worship you and thank you with our lips and with our lives. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.